Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 3rd November 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to our fresh series, Vintage Sai Bhajan's Classroom. Over the years, the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom, which started as a 10-minute program, had so many elements added to it year after year, and now it is a 45-minute program, and actually we can even extend it to make it a program for an hour or more. But we would like to maintain this 45 minutes duration bracket and see how effectively we can use these 45 minutes to convey more about a bhajan. Till now, we were taking up bhajans which are commonly sung in Prashantanalayam, and we will continue to do this in the future, but after a break. For the next 9 weeks, we now have Vintage Sai Bhajan's Classroom. There are so many beautiful bhajans which were sung in the yesteryears and have been, in a way, sleeping for years now. And we felt if we do not do anything about them now, probably they will be dead and lost to the coming generation of Sai devotees and bhajan enthusiasts. Besides, they are also very melodious compositions, and why miss the chance to relish in their sweetness? So, we start on this new journey of discovering 9 beautiful golden olden melodies. We begin with a bhajan dedicated to Lord Ganesha.
Pahi pahi gajanana.
Brother Srinivasulu will now spell out the lyrics clearly and then sing the tune for us. And we will also listen to him share about the importance of this new series. That will come up towards the end of the program. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Pahi pahi gajanana, Parvati tanaya gajanana, Mushika vahana gajanana, Modaka hasta gajanana, Chamara karna గజానన, విలంబిత సూత్ర గజానన.
So those are the simple lyrics of this bhajan, and now Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh will give us a demonstration of its lovely tune.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham.
Pahi pahi gajanana,
pahi pahi gajanana,
pahi pahi gajanana,
pahi pahi gajanana,
Parvati tanaya gajanana,
Parvati tanaya gajanana,
Parvati tanaya gajanana,
Parvati tanaya gajanana,
Mushika vahana gajanana,
Mushika vahana gajanana,
Mushika vahana gajanana,
Mushika vahana gajanana,
Modaka hasta gajanana,
Modaka hasta gajanana,
Modaka hasta gajanana,
Modaka hasta gajanana,
Chamara karna గజాననా
చామర కర్ణ గజాననా
చామర కర్ణ గజాననా
చామర కర్ణ గజాననా
విలంబిత సూత్ర గజాననా
విలంబిత సూత్ర గజాననా
విలంబిత సూత్ర గజాననా
విలంబిత సూత్ర గజాననా
పాహి పాహి గజాననా
So that is how this beautiful Ganesha melody flows, and you heard it in the voice of Brother Srinivasulu, followed by Brother Anirudh. And to tell us more about this bhajan, its swaras and the raga, Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the structure of this bhajan?
As you rightly mentioned, it was so blissful listening to Brother Srinivasulu and his sweet rendition of this beautiful bhajan. I was just thoughtless actually that so coming back to this exploring the raga of this bhajan, this beautiful melody is based on rag Hamsadhvani. Okay. In the Carnatic classical music, in the both streams of music, and it's a very bright raga. It's used in the music concerts as a beginning raga. Many of the Ganesha compositions on Lord Ganesha are there in this raga. Like
Vatapi Ganapatim Bhajeham,
and in fact many Ganesha bhajans are also there.
Mahaganapate Namostute Vinayaka Vinayaka Pahi Gajanana Dinavana,
which is closest to this.
Yes.
Pahi Pahi Gajanana.
And if you observe this raga, it has
sa re shuddh ri ga shuddh ga pa ni
shuddh ni
sa sa ni pa ga pa re ni re sa sa re ga pa ni sa ni 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 pa ni ri ga గపని సని ప గ పరే గణేశ.
I'm actually reminded of a beautiful song which we used to sing in front of Swami, and the song is
Deva namo Deva పవన గుణ ఘన భావ.
It's a beautiful song in Hamsadhvani. I think we must listen to the most beautiful part is that the initial alap, and Brother Ravi Kumar often sings this song in front of Swami. So let's just listen to that song.
Sure.
దేవా देवा नमो देवा पावन गुण गण भावा देवा नमो देवा पावन गुण गण भावा पावन गुण गण भावा देवा नमो देवा जगदाकारा चतुर्भुजा गगननीलमेघश्यामा नीरजनावा अगणित नामन्यान देवा नमो देवा वेदान्तैर्गणनवतारा कनकशङ्करचक्रतराङ्का घनवेदान्तैर्गणनवतारा कनकशङ्करचक्रतराङ्का दिनमणिशशाङ्क दिव्यविलोचन अनुपमरविबिम्बादरा नमणि शशाङ्क दिव्य विलोचन अनुपमरविबिम्बादरा मावयकन्दभवजनका श्रीवनितारुदयेशा मावयकन्दभवजनका श्रीवनितारुदयेशा श्रीवेङ्कटगिरिशिखर विहाना पावन गुण गण भावा देवा नमो देवा पावन गुण गण भावा पावन गुण गण भावा देवा 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 नमो देवा
Amazing. It really reminded of those times when Bhagwan used to ask him to sing special songs whenever there were guests, and you know, this used to reverberate in the cycle with all.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And this Ganesha Bhajan is in the same raga. So let's go on and explore how the swaras play out in this bhajan.
Yeah. So let's take the first line. Pahi Pahi Gajanana.
Pahi Pahi Gajanana Sa 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 ni pa ga pa ni ni sa
Sa sa sa ni pa ga pa ni ni sa
Parvati tanaya gajanana Sari gari sa 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 ni pa ni ri
Sare gare sa 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 ni pa ni re
Mushika vahana gajanana Sa 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 ni pa ga pa ni sa ni
Sa 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 ni pa ga pa ni sa ni
मोदक हस्ता गजानना सरी गरी सा 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 सनी पनीरी
సరే గరే సని పనిరే
శ్యామల కర్ణ గజాన గరి 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 సరి
గరి 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 సరి
విలంబిత సూత్ర గజాన ససరి గరి ససని పప గపని
ససరి గరి ససని పప గపని సా.
ఇట్స్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ టు లిసన్ టు ది నోట్స్ ఆఫ్ ద భజన్ వేర్ యూ స్టాండ్ ఆన్ ఎవ్రీ నోట్.
యా, అండ్ యు వుడ్ హావ్ observed that, you know, most of the lines of this bhajan is in sa.
Yes.
I was just counting how many times we are singing sa. Sa, yes. Sa, sa, ni, pa, sa, sa, sa. Yeah. So it's more of, it is reminding us that, you know, we better stand on that sa.
Yes. It's all about steadiness. So yeah. Tell us about the beat of the bhajan.
The beat of this beautiful melody is 8 beat. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1
pahi pahi gajanana
pahi pahi gajanana
parvati tanaya gajanana
parvati tanaya gajanana
pahi pahi gajanana
Gajanana.
That gives us a good idea of the beat, and we already discussed the ragas of this beautiful new offering to Lord Ganesha. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam.
Sairam. It's time now to move on from the technicalities of this bhajan to its essential core. And Brother Srinivasulu will help us in this endeavor. In fact, over a conversation, he now shares why this series is so significant for the Sai devotee community and also recalls moments of learning about Sai bhajans that he has imbibed directly from Bhagwan. The instances where Swami has personally guided him about bhajan singing and about those elements of bhajan singing that one must be very particular about. And finally, he will also dwell specifically on the Ganesh bhajan we have taken up for this episode. Brother Srinivasulu joined Swami's college in the 80s, and since then he has stayed on in Prashantanilayam and currently serves in the publication division of Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust. Most importantly, he is one of the most precious and valued members of the Prashanti Mandir bhajan group. Sairam Brother Srinivasulu, and a warm welcome to this fresh episode of Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sairam Brother Bishu.
Actually, I'm so happy that you are here today for this initial episode of this new series, because you are someone who has really encouraged us, supported us in this endeavor. You are someone who feel very strongly about reliving some of the bhajans of the yesteryears, and thanks to you that we do at times hear some of those golden olden melodies. So tell us, brother, what is your take on the vintage Sai bhajans? Why do you feel so much that we really need to revive these bhajans?
Yeah, of late I observed that bhajans have become repetitive, and almost every bhajan is repeated at least once in 10 days. So I think recently, regarding this, when we were having discussion in our bhajan group, this idea of reviving old bhajans came up. In the 90s, when I was a waiting boy, Mohan Rao sir used to sing some excellent bhajans in the mornings, which Bhagwan used to really enjoy listening to. Those days, there were no mics in the morning bhajan. And as you know, students cannot attend morning bhajans. So therefore, some of the compositions of Mohan Rao sir are forgotten, nobody knows. So I thought I can share with you some of the bhajans which are still fresh in my memory and hopefully include them in our regular bhajans.
So can you please maybe recall some of those bhajans?
Yeah, sure. Sri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. Yeah, this is one Rama bhajan that comes to my mind immediately. And one more bhajan. Narayana Hari Narayana Nanda Govinda Ananda Narayana.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Actually, all these bhajans, if I'm not wrong, were short, isn't it?
Yeah, those bhajans were very short and sweet.
Yeah, short, sweet and crisp. And
yeah.
They were filled with namavalis, isn't
true,
it?
True, true. Because, you know, Bhagavan always used to emphasize that we should sing only those bhajans which everyone can easily follow. I remember when someone sang a complicated bhajan, at the end of that session, Bhagavan chided him saying, aise gana kacheri mein ga sakta hai.
Oh, okay.
Meaning, yeah, these such songs should be sung in concerts, musical concerts, and not in regular bhajans. Because it will be difficult for people to follow.
It's about collective singing.
Yes, yes. So being a close devotee of Bhagwan, I think Mohan Rao sir learnt his lessons from Bhagwan himself. And that is why his compositions like Govinda Gopala Prabhu Giridhari, this is one. Then Chitta Chora Yashoda Kabal, very famous bhajan now. They are all very simple and sweet. And I think that is what made him dear to our Bhagwan.
Amazing. And if you think about these compositions, there is this special attribute of these golden old melodies that they were actually sung physically in front of Bhagwan.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, yes. They have got his direct approval, you can say.
They have got his direct approval.
Yes,
because
yes.
Someone can say that, you know, if you want to increase the bhajan repertoire, you can always introduce new bhajans.
Compose new bhajans.
Compose
and
new bhajans
true.
Now.
Yeah.
I mean, while I think that is also welcome, but...
Bhajans which are already sung in Swami's presence earlier, physical presence.
Yes.
Definitely.
I think they have it their own charm and they have the divine signature. No, you don't have to even think or assume.
People have seen Swami enjoying those bhajans.
Yes, physically those bhajans. Yeah. And in fact, those days, of course, we hear that in the earlier era, like in the 60s and 70s, bhajans used to be not for half an hour or 40 minutes. They used to be longer sessions, isn't it?
Yeah. But in 90s, I think after I completed my studies and started waiting here, and bhajans used to be for almost just 20 minutes in the morning. Bhajans used to start at 9 and by 9:20 they would end. Usually at 9:20 Swami would himself push his footstool under his chair, thus signaling the end of bhajans.
Yes.
And normally the old student sitting right in front of Swami would have the privilege of helping Swami.
Yes.
Helping
I know,
Swami.
I think that was such a blessing. That's why I remember.
Yeah,
I mean, that was one of the big motivations for the waiting
people.
Boys, right?
Yes, yes.
Boys who were waiting to get directions from Bhagwan about...
directly in front of Bhagwan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For their future course of action in life. You get this chance to sit right under his nose. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
And as it is 9:20, generally Bhagwan
will signal and
the moment he raises his feet,
the boys
can, you know, push
the footstool
behind.
And aarti would be given. So by 9:20, 9:25, bhajans would be.
And in those days, Swami himself used to light the aarti, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yes.
Bhagwan himself.
I think sometime in the perhaps late 80s and 90s, Swami used to himself light. And then later on, you know, the Pujari
was doing it actually.
Pujari.
I think in 90s, Pujari only was doing it, I think. I didn't see Swami lighting the... Maybe during Akhanda Bhajan, Swami used to do that.
Swami used to do that.
Personally, light
and
the
I remember my student days in the 90s in Vrindavan, you know, after the bhajan session, when you go up to Bhagwan, you know, one of them offers a rose and the other person offers the aarti plate.
And Swami would himself light.
Correct. So, when you had all those beautiful moments of intense proximity with the Lord, actually.
True.
And the bhajan group had the privilege of sitting right
Very close
at
to
the
Bhagwan.
Forefront
yes,
of all the gathering.
Yes, and you had the chance to actually see the reaction of Bhagwan to the bhajans. Isn't it? If you introduce a new bhajan, you could actually see at close quarters.
Yes, if the pronunciation is not proper, Swami would immediately correct sometimes.
Yeah, you remember any instances of that nature, sir, when Bhagwan was very particular about, as you mentioned,
I think once someone was singing Paritishwara. Paritishwara Sati, in that bhajan, somebody was saying Paritishwara.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami is telling it's not Pariti, it is Parti.
Yeah.
Paritishwara.
Okay. So I think just like when people break the word Krishna, also Kirishana, Swami used to not approve of it. Actually.
Yes, yes. Swami many times he corrected boys. It is not Krishna, it is Krishna. Something Krishna. Like that. Yeah, Krishna.
And I think we have seen Bhagwan being very particular about the pronunciation of so many words like this.
Yes, yes. And one more bhajan was there. Ramakrishna Hari Mukunda Murari. When this bhajan was being sung, Swami was not in the bhajan hall, he was in the interview room. Then immediately Swami told one brother who was with Swami at that time, it is not Hari. See, there's that pronunciation is wrong. It should be Hari. Ramakrishna Hari.
Oh, they were just trying to make it musical.
Yeah, to fit, beat, maybe.
To fit within the beat. You know, so, elongating a particular word.
Then Swami said, it should not be Hari, it should be Hari. Then when this was conveyed to the boy later on, then they corrected it and started singing it as Ramakrishna Hari Jai Jai Mukunda Murari Panduranga Hari Jai Jai Panduranga Hari Hari.
Beautiful. So that Hari comes as one word. But I think that is so important because Sanskrit is such a coded language.
Yes.
I mean, just by adding a little...
Yeah, the meaning also may change.
Meaning will also probably change.
Yes, yes.
You know, Hari is different from Hari.
Hari, definitely. Definitely. That's why Swami is very particular about this.
Like Rama is different from Rama.
Rama,
Rama actually is the name of a lady.
Yes.
And Rama is...
Lord Rama.
Lord Rama. And in fact, in English, you write both of them as R-A-M-A.
Correct.
It's very difficult to distinguish.
Yeah.
And at least so in the bhajans, when all the words, I mean, 90% of the words are Sanskrit words.
Okay.
And I think that's why perhaps Swami
we have to be very
particular.
Careful with regard to our pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. And what are the other facets which Bhagwan was very particular about, you know, when you think about bhajan singing?
Like in bhajans, no, we should extol various names and forms of God.
Yes.
Like if somebody is singing a Krishna bhajan, next bhajan should not be again a Krishna bhajan. It should be Rama or Shiva, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami wanted all names and forms, all the deities to be covered in bhajan.
In a bhajan session.
Yeah, in a bhajan session.
Yes.
And he was very particular about this Sarvadharma bhajans also.
I think that happened also sometime in the 90s, isn't it?
Yeah, 90s. Maybe in 90s. I think I have seen in 90s only.
Mm. Swami became, he was very particular that
Sarvadharma bhajans should be sung.
Should be part of the, yes, because when you look at Bhagwan's mission, you know, there are these five principal things when it comes to his message, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa.
Yeah.
And him being the sole director of the destiny of people of all faiths.
Faiths, exactly.
All the five major religions. I think those two things came prominently and he wanted every bhajan session.
True, because in the devotees, some may be devotees of Krishna, someone may like Rama.
Yes.
So they wanted, everybody should be satisfied.
And that is so true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, someone will be sitting there thinking of his favorite Hanuman or his favorite Durga and a bhajan is sung, you immediately connect to the Lord. Yeah, it's so fantastic. Amazing. And, you know, you were talking about Amon Rao, sir. And of course, you had Raja Reddy, sir, of the earlier times and all. But, and of course, I have also had the opportunity to see Mohan Rao, sir. But you are someone who had the chance to actually learn bhajans from him and sing along with him for so many years in the morning bhajan sessions. So when you think about his personality, you know, what comes to your mind? Because he was such an inspirational figure.
Yeah, yeah. Really, as a waiting boy, when I was attending morning bhajans in the 90s, I had the opportunity to learn many valuable lessons with regard to bhajans from our Mohan Rao sir. He was an ardent devotee. What impressed me most was his childlike simplicity, implicit faith in Swami, and the intense bhava with which he used to render the bhajans. As we all know, Bhagwan is bhava priya, and therefore he used to enjoy sir's bhajans immensely.
Mm.
Though he was such a senior devotee, singing bhajans for more than 3 decades, he used to move very closely with all of us, sharing his knowledge and experience. He was not just a great bhajan singer, but he was also a wonderful composer.
Yes, and we have now so many
some of his compositions
which we are now deliberating.
We will try to
Yes, revive.
Revive them.
And he also used to regularly attend the Nagar Sankirtan, isn't it?
Yeah. He was the leading Nagar Sankirtan also in the morning. Very regular he was.
Hmm. And you used to also attend the Nagar
Sankirtan? I used to attend those days.
And I think, and that is how I think so many bhajans of Mohan Rao sir has seeped into you. And you used to have the grace. Same Shruti, I remember. You used to have all the bhajans in the same Shruti.
Yeah, Mohan Rao sir used to just keep the Shruti. He didn't know how to play harmonium. So he used to just keep Shruti. And only in one Shruti, we used to sing all bhajans.
All bhajans.
In a given session.
And you have all the old timers who prefer that stability in the Shruti in a bhajan session.
Yes.
And I think when I was speaking to Iradi sir, he was saying, you know, that way, you know, it helps the devotee of those times, you know, they felt that, you know, you're in a particular level and there's not so much of fluctuation.
Okay.
Of various Shrutis and, you know, so in some ways it helped them to connect with Bhagwan
Swami
better.
Correct, yeah. Correct.
It's beautiful. And I think we really need to revive so many bhajans, not only of Mohan Rao sir, but of so many other singers of yesteryears, isn't it?
Yeah, really. There may be many elderly people here who may help us in reviving those bhajans.
And that will be such a valuable addition to the ocean of Sai bhajans. Yes, it is an ocean.
Hopefully, with his blessings, we'll be able to do that.
Yes, sir. And talking about the bhajan of the we have taken up for this classroom, this Ganesha bhajan that we have decided to start the series with.
And one more point I remember, Swami used to say, like, there should not be too much gap between one bhajan and the other.
Hmm.
Like, when you sing the bhajan in the same Shrutis, in the same Shruti, when we sing all the bhajans, it is easy to start the next bhajan.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for the bhajan person to change the Shruti and then...
Yeah, then, you know, readjust.
Some gap will be there.
Gap,
Swami
yeah.
always used to say, there should not be that much gap. It should be immediate.
Should not give a chance even for the mind to wander even those 2-3 seconds.
So maybe that's why they used to prefer singing all bhajans in the same Shruti.
Yeah, you can immediately start.
You can immediately start.
Yes. I think even now, if you see in the later years, Swami was very particular also that the person who is playing harmonium gives a nice lead to the singer to start, so that it does not take time, you know,
for him to
start, so that, you know, otherwise it will take time for the Shruti to sink into him and then start the bhajan.
Yes, yes.
So he wanted that, you know, the harmonium provides such fantastic support that, you know, even if the bhajan is a completely different raga and different Shruti, the other person effortlessly should start.
Correct.
Yes, I think that is so important for Bhagwan. So, as I was talking about our bhajan on Lord Ganesha, and you are someone who has dwelt on so many bhajans, and in fact, you are someone whom I call many times to know the meaning of so many words in the bhajans. So, what are your thoughts on the different attributes of Lord Ganesha that we describe in this bhajan? You have Pahi Pahi Gajanana, where we are asking Lord Ganesha to protect us, isn't it? Pahi Pahi Gajanana. And then the next line you have Parvati Tanaya Gajanana.
Parvati Tanaya, the first two lines are fairly simple, easily can be understood. The third one is Mushika Vahana Gajanana. Swami gave the inner meaning, saying Mushika symbolizes ignorance. So Ganesha is the one who has subdued the ignorance.
Yes.
When you surrender to him, he removes your ignorance.
And he subdues our animal traits.
Yes.
Animal tendencies.
Yes.
Then you have Modaka Hasta Gajanana.
Yeah, Modaka, we say they are very... Ganesha is very fond of Modakas.
Yes.
That's what we offer to him on his on the Vinayak Chaturthi day.
And Bhagwan, of course, in his discourses has gone on at length explaining the...
inner significance of the Modaka.
Modaka.
Oh, yeah. I have not heard.
No, in the sense that how Bhagwan has mentioned the way Modaka is cooked. Uh-huh. How it is...
Okay, it's healthy. Beneficial for our health.
For our health. And I think through that facet, you know, Bhagwan was giving those lessons of healthy living.
Correct.
You know, because that does not have oil, it is steam cooked.
Cooked, correct. And easy to digest.
Correct. And I think those are the aspects which are eternal precepts for a healthy...
life.
Correct. Yeah, healthy life. A healthy food habits. Yes.
Correct.
And then you have Chamara Karna Gajanana. And perhaps it refers to the huge ears, isn't it?
Yes.
The Chamara is the fan.
Fan.
And so it's like fan-shaped huge ears.
Yes. It just describes the physical features of Vinayaka. But there must be some underlying meaning, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bhagwan also, of course, in one discourse, Swami says that, you know, you have the huge ears. You know why?
To drive away something negative and
take only the positive things. Yeah, take only the positive and dive away the negative.
Yes, that's what I heard.
I think there is always, I think, when you think about it deeply, every manifestation of the deity in a particular form is completely imbued with significance, because
definitely
it is something that has come out of a bhava.
Correct.
Isn't
it? That's why Swami always says you should understand the inner meaning of the rituals that you perform.
Yes, yes. I think only then the ritual will become spiritual.
Spiritual. Otherwise, it remains a mechanical exercise.
Mechanical exercise, yes. And then you have Vilambita Sutra Gajanana.
Vilambita, I heard it's a long trunk.
Yes.
One who has a long trunk.
Long trunk. And of course, sutra, perhaps one meaning is thread.
Thread.
But I think perhaps here it refers to, you know, like a long flowing thread.
His trunk is,
That trunk.
To describe the long trunk,
yes,
they would have used this.
Use the analogy of perhaps a thread.
A thread.
Yeah. But I think these are all those facets that make Ganesha look so fascinating and such a delightful form of the Lord for everyone.
Yes.
And one thing that we have always seen is Bhagwan emphasizing on adoration of Lord Vinayaka as the Vignaharta, as the one who will remove our obstacles. And he made it a mandatory practice that
to start bhajans with Ganesh bhajan.
Yes, always.
Bhajan sessions.
Yes, and Vedam also always starts with prostrations to Lord Ganesha. And
we have Ganesh temple right in front of
yes, as soon as someone enters Prashantham on both the gates, whether it is Gopuram gate or the Ganesh gate. I think all those are of course, someone can say that, you know, all God is one, why we have to offer worship separately. And I think at some level that is perhaps true. I mean, ultimately, it is just one universal consciousness which takes up different cups. Every deity is one cup of consciousness. But I think if the ancients have laid this for us, and if Bhagwan also seconded this, and, you know, he ensured
encouraged
that
to follow
this, and there is some merit in this project, which perhaps which is beyond our understanding now.
Correct.
But there is merit in doing it.
Definitely.
And you know, praying to Lord Ganesha just so that we get that understanding, to understand him derive a benefit from him and benefit to
Bhagavan says God assumes the form that we attribute to him.
Absolutely.
If we say if we worship Bhagavan in the form of Ganesha, he'll appear to us as Ganesha.
Yes.
Based on our own
and
feelings.
And just like every person is different. Every mind is different.
Different. They have different tastes.
They have different tastes. So that's why we have in Indian culture this plethora of gods and goddesses suiting to everyone's taste. Yes. What it needs is sincerity. I think just be sincere to whichever form, and then you will get
feeling. The intense feeling.
Bhava.
Bhava matters ultimately.
Bhava. Yes, absolutely. As you mentioned, in Mohan Rao sir also was...
Yeah.
Could earn that much of grace because of the bhava.
Bhava only, really.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much.
I know Sairam Bishu, thank you.
I cannot keep you here for very long.
No, thank you for the opportunity. Sairam Bishu,
but I just hope that with your support and divine blessings, we will have many more seasons of this vintage bhajan classroom, so that, you know, we can increase our bhajan repertoire and offer these bhajans to the Lord. Thank you so much.
Bishu, thank you. Thank you. Sairam.
So that was Brother Srinivasulu, one of the senior most members of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, who has been singing in the Divine Presence since the 80s. And it's time now to listen to this entire bhajan along with proper following and instruments as it happens in any normal bhajan session.
Pahi pahi gajanana,
pahi pahi gajanana,
pahi pahi gajanana,
pahi pahi gajanana,
Parvati tanaya gajanana,
Parvati tanaya gajanana,
Parvati tanaya
Gajanana, Mushikavahana Gajanana,
Mushikavahana Gajanana. gajanana
gajanana.
So that brings us to the end of the first episode of this new series, Vintage Sai Bhajan's Classroom. We will return with a new bhajan to discover next week. Please do send us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We look forward to your suggestions and comments. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil, Abhishek and Anirudh. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.
You were listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 3rd November 2016 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.